find a possibility to describe a process of this short history of installation?
Well, I find
in your work and in the general work in general.
Well, I find that there is an evolution of the image going on, which is continuous throughout history. So we're seeing a very recent and a very compressed history development, because at this particular time, technology is very volatile and it's changing very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
This is not normal, usually. In all of history, there are periods when technology changed very dramatically in a short period of time. 15th century is a perfect example, early mid-15th century with panel painting, perspective painting, oil paint, Gutenberg's printing press, you know. So we're in a period like that now. So it's kind of strange to talk about the history of video, even it's so short. But nonetheless, there is a development, there is a process. And what I see happening primarily is the image, which had been evolving in one direction, and that was increasing resolution and also increasing scale, mm-hmm. to the point when I was young, television mm-hmm. sets, the screen was like this. Gradually, it's gotten bigger and bigger. Today, in America, the screens, the TV sets are big like this. Mm-hmm. And so the larger the image for television, people are sitting further back,
mm-hmm.
and now they need this remote because TV's so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the image gets larger. Now at the same time, second kind of course of evolution of technology, the computer starts coming in mm-hmm. underneath that with small screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts the small screen now on your desktop. So now you have television viewing and people seeing movies on videotape on a large screen, and at the same time on the table you have small screen connected to typewriter for text.
Mm-hmm.
You have a connection between text and image.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a new distance of immersion, of
mm-hmm.
involvement, that's not the big image in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a computer screen, the image on the computer screen, digital image, is reading distance. It's not cinema distance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the distance of a book,
mm-hmm.
which is very mm-hmm. personal
mm-hmm.
and very close. So there's a new distance, a new space,
mm-hmm.
and that space is the space of immersion, not in
mm-hmm.
the whole corporeal kind of way, but in a more kind of intellectual, perceptual, thought process way, that's how you get involved in the image. And
mm-hmm.
you see the works downstairs, people with this, especially with the portraits, the smaller pieces, they come in and they feel the necessity to come like where they read a text, they want to be right here
mm-hmm.
with the smaller pieces, which is really interesting. It's really interesting.
But if you remind, in the 70s, mm-hmm. the verticality of in the sculpture and the bidimensionality in the perspective was
mm-hmm.
refused, looks like enemies for the multifocus in the theater, in the performance,
uh-huh.
and the environment
right.
where the spectator
yeah.
couldn't find one focus was
yeah.
emphasized.
Yeah.
And now, before you explain it, and now this recuperation of the bidimensionality of the screen
mm.
for you is looks like a nostalgia for the painting or for
mm-hmm.
the
mm.
before the perspective.
Yeah, almost
the Renaissance.
In a way. Well, I think we're entering an age that has less and less to do with optics and with the optical image, and therefore more and more to do with the point in history previous to the Renaissance,
mm-hmm.
or at least at the turning point, which, you know, again, you'd say 15th century, early 15th century, you know, Masaccio, Masolino, and all these guys who are the first guys to sort of understand the space and the picture. And so you look at their work and it's very transitional. It's not like even like Leonardo or like Michelangelo or Raphael, where it's a perfect, beautiful perspective, but they were sort of in between this kind of Gothic kind of medieval space and this kind of what we call, you know, the kind of Renaissance perspective space. And so where we're headed, technologically speaking, is in fact away from the visual and more into the kind of mental or psychological or even intellectual kind of space. And that is, you know, changing the way the image looks. Like the multi-screen thing, which you talked about, especially in the 60s, is present in the computer today. And it's quite interesting to see that people now have become very used to looking at a screen with multiple images. The only difference is it's not in the room multiple image, but even on one screen now, you have a window here with internet connection, and then there's text thing here, and people are not distracted anymore about where to look. They can focus their attention, and there's this kind of simultaneous information going on, and they're able to just focus on one thing at a time. Which is in themselves, not in the way the information is presented. So that idea of simultaneity and multiplicity of the image and of information is sort of like a new language.
At the beginning, to me, it looks like that this recuperation of bidimensionality was a loss of memory of the tradition, short tradition, and a simplification of the complexity of the experimentation of the last 20 years in this field. Maybe it's also this
I'm not sure about that. I think what happened, I think, in art, especially in the 20th century, is that on the one hand, it seems like a simplification. Everything got very visually, very simple, abstract. You know, at a certain point, people just painting just one color. I mean, it's kind of amazing, reduction of all this stuff. But on the other hand, what was really going on from the point of view of the artist was that they were just discarding and getting rid of any extraneous elements like visual optical representation and going right after the moment of the emotion, the moment of the realization, to the point where the paint on the canvas became a mark made by an action. And the point of the artistic practice was to fully realize the action. So the emotion in the Pollock, you know, in the suffering in Jackson Pollock, is not in the image made by the paint. It's in the form of the application of the paint right onto the canvas.
The gesture.
The gesture has all the emotion. So in a way, the emotion had no representation directly. It wasn't an image of someone being emotional. It was like the emotion moved right back to the domain of the artist solely. And what you were witnessing was a mark made by the kind of action, which in a way kind of leaves us out of the knowledge of, well, why is this emotion here? What is this person feeling? You know what? It's just you sort of see the footprints. You know, you don't see the actual walking and you don't know the destination. That's now in the domain of the artist. And I think we're coming out of that kind of period right now. But in a way it's still complex in some level. It's just in terms of the representation, the complexity is completely in the being of the person who made the work.
I'm not sure. I don't understand very well what is happening.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, for example, to Cheryl Lockhart, Theater Amazonas, I don't know, Shirin Neshat, and another thought that I have about this bidimensionality with this young artist is that now we don't have the differences between videotapes, monochannel, and installation for this young generation. And for them, they make a video monochannel and put it in the space.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like as installation.
That's
this
fine.
Is a reductiva interpretation, but yeah. I find it could be.
Yeah, true. But I think what's happening is in the digital world, there's no scale.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up in a period where scale was really important, talking about scale all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for the young artists now, there's no scale. The images are infinitely scalable. In fact, you even if you work with digital stuff, technically speaking, you always find the term scaling. That's an absolute critical aspect of creating images digitally, because images are literally scaled to fit the screen.
Mm-hmm.
If I had those images down there in the small panels, if I showed them in the actual resolution of the panel, in other words, if I put the image on the screen, on the panel screen, in the resolution of 1:1 pixels, my images that fill the screen would just be a little box like this inside the screen. Because that's the number of pixels that I have in my video image. I don't use the full amount of pixels on the screen. So to us, it means the image looks small, but in actual fact, what's going on is that's 1:1 scale.
Mm-hmm.
1 pixel in my video image, 1 pixel on the LCD screen. So in order to show it, I have to scale it up. And these monitors, these digital display devices have scalers inside them where you can scale an image up to fit the screen. It just means it repeats pixels till it fills the whole screen. There's no more resolution than when you have it when it was small. And so for young people with this technology, they're totally used to that idea of scaling. And so I think, I mean, I can't speak for them, but I think that, you know, when they show their work they have a video and they have a room and they think, well, okay, well, I mean, let's make it this big, you know, get a projector and zoom in and, you know, I'm fine, you know? It doesn't have to be made for a monitor, made for the wall, made for everything, because everything is sort of infinitely scalable, and scale is not, in a way, an issue for them. The image is the issue.
Yeah, that's true. Another big question that I'm putting in these years regards the concept of contemplation, and contemplation in Latin is cum templum.
Cum templum.
Templum is
temple.
Temple, yes. Mm-hmm. And cum is I stay inside this temple.
Right.
And for me, contemplation is a fundamental act of the watching of the spectator for the work of art.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the critics, the artists emphasize the need to overcome the contemplation for the interaction. The spectator has to do something with the work of art, in brackets. And in your work, of course, contemplation, this faculty is very, very important, because if you don't stay in watching, you don't see nothing, because you work with the time, and you know. What do you think about this linear negation of this faculty in the contemporary art, if you have experience, and what do you think? I know I read, but I didn't see you work the Tree of Knowledge that you made.
Yeah, that was an interactive piece.
And what do you think about this balance between contemplation and...
Yeah. Well, it's very... It's a complex issue. I mean, I can take that back quite far historically. And I can go back to, Byzantine theories of art and the idea of imago, which is the image or the likeness of person. So all of those icons were really about the kind of continuous presence of a person, the way a stone is continually there. And so a lot of the portraits of the saints and of Mary and Jesus Christ were created in this imago mode or style of, you know, continuous presence of a person, and it's contacting this person continuously. And then the other part of image making was something that Pope Gregory described in his famous letter about images in the 7th century, when he said that, you know, the images were like books for the people who can't read. They can illustrate the stories. So you have this idea of historia, the image as a kind of a description of something changing in time. So you have these two kinds of images in the history of Western art, ways of making images, but they're not just styles or motifs or historical aspects. They're actually very much connected to us and how we see. We do have different ways we perceive,
mm-hmm.
and we do see certain things that are continuous presences, and we do see other things that change in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I see kind of interactive work as something that's evolving very naturally out of cinema, very naturally, ultimately out of the historia painting,
mm-hmm.
which is always trying to be about movement, about change, about time. And the fresco cycles in Italy, when you walk in the church, especially like Giotto in Scrovegni and Arena Chapel or Assisi, you know, you actually are making the movie when you walk, you know? You're going around and the panels in time are appearing, you know? It's very kind of interactive and involves your whole body. And so I see, and that, of course, the Giotto is very connected with cinema, with storyboards and scenes in the movie.
Yes, but the cinema is not interactive in the contemporary sense.
No, in the contemporary sense, the interactive part arises when information becomes of a fast enough speed where it becomes active. And that's something that's happened in our lifetime, that the idea of, see, the old idea of information was something that you stored in an archive,
mm-hmm.
and was valued precisely because it doesn't change. So the historical archives, things that happened were considered like fixed. You put them here, you can categorize them, you can catalog them, you can save them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our history, our ancestry, our stories.
The way which you make the catalog is a way to change the history.
Well, we know that now, but this, I'm saying, that's what's mm-hmm. kind of in a very basic mm-hmm. way, that was the idea, the story. And what's going on now in the media age, since all of this technology is about, the essence of it is the movement of electrons,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a movement, the media, electronic media, whether it's digital or analog,
mm-hmm.
is about a movement, literally, of electrical force.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an active center to it. It's not a fixed object, as
mm-hmm.
you know very well. And so that kind of movement creates this ability to have the information keep pace with the rate of change in the world, because everything's always changing in the world. So now all of a sudden the information that's there can change at the same rate that the world changes, can be directly connected with our actions, can reflect our actions. And so instead of the abstract expressionist painter making a mark and then it's fixed, now you can have the mark itself can be moving and changing all the time, and this kind of feedback loop. And that's really a new way of thinking about history, about knowledge, about information, that it's directly the result of the interaction of the person with the material. And so other than the performing arts, theater and drama and so on, and music, which have always been about that, and they always have had that aspect, we're witnessing now the idea of this active flow of information being brought into visual arts and visual media. And so works then become defined on their use. You know, they actually get used by people, the way you play an instrument. You know, I'm convinced a lot of young people really feel when they're on their computers that they're like, it's almost like music. They're they need to be engaged with the information in an active, reactive kind of way.
Yes, but this is, for me, it's different uh-huh. from the role of the spectator that come in a room, and mm-hmm. in this room the work doesn't exist if he doesn't mm-hmm. make some action mm-hmm. in order to right. make exist the right. the work.
Right. Yeah, that's very different.
I am so, speaking about yeah, okay. this kind there's, of interactivity.
There's a precedent and there's a history to everything, mm-hmm. but it's true. There's a very important difference now, and that is that you're absolutely right. Like, you become the performer.
Mm-hmm.
The spectator and performer are just one.
Yeah.
And that's in the whole history of dramatic tradition, everything. It's never, the only time it's been that way historically has been in ritual.
Sure.
Ritual mm-hmm. is when the spectator and the performer mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. are the same. And so I really think we are returning to kind of or going forward to a state of this kind of ritual. Behavior,
maybe.
Which is becoming, you know, part of our lives now, and it has not been part of our lives for a long time in the
no,
Western.
No, looks
industry.
Like a Luna Park, or looks like a game.
It's yeah, it has
good
that,
thing,
that
but it's
to
not
it, yeah.
Art.
No, that's not art. It's true. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you know it's Joseph Beuys over there? What happens when you can you come up to that, and it doesn't exist unless you do something, and then when you do something, you change it.
Of course.
It's pretty mm-hmm. interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before you, two questions. And
yes. Yeah,
sure. Before you spoke about the continuous tense in your work, you know, the
yeah, continuous
here,
present. Yeah.
Present. Mm-hmm. Yes, looks like mm-hmm. in the performance. Mm-hmm. No, the performance mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. here in the now, in the present.
That's true.
And. I feel that in the last work, in this exhibition, mm-hmm. this aspect of performative aspect is emphasized much more than mm-hmm. in the past work.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you use actors, of, it's true.
Yeah, performance artists, actors.
The two portraits that we see young, the pain, the dolor, when you on the left.
First one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They are they performers?
Dancers.
Dancers
first from originally
mm-hmm.
and then after years of dancing now they're starting to perform in theater and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because this work looks like a performance with a beginning, a dramatic.
Yeah. It's true. Mm-hmm. They all in a way have a kind of a linear time flow. Yeah, you know, that's beautiful. So good talking with you, because mm-hmm. that's very true. I haven't thought about that. In a way, this work, even though it's new, and certainly mm-hmm. technologically it's new,
yeah,
with these flat panels and stuff, but, you know, and no one has ever said that so far, that it sort of connects me back to my very, very earliest works, and the beginnings of video, which video and performance were
yes, very
so connected. Vito Acconci mm-hmm. and all these guys were, it was so much about capturing an event in time.
Yes, but this is present in your work from the beginning,
it's
but
true.
Before mm-hmm. you, the theatricality mm-hmm. was to waiting the events that appear, looks mm-hmm. like in the mm-hmm. concept of contemplum, looks mm-hmm. like the priest mm-hmm. that look the flying mm-hmm. of the birds mm-hmm. and try mm-hmm. to understand the future.
Mm-hmm.
But now the performative aspects mm-hmm. is emphasized mm-hmm. with the presence of these dancers, actors mm-hmm. and...
That's true.
I think that is not right to speak about tableau vivant. Tableau vivant
no,
was very, very different
very
thing
different.
In the history of...
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. It is kind of performance. At the same time, I mean, you could argue, I suppose you could say it's related to some kind of document of a performance of an event, but for me, anyway, my feeling is it's not quite a simple document of a performance. It's you know, it's something else.
No, yeah, of course.
It's hybrid. Yeah. Certainly it starts as a performance, but then the way, even the physical screen it's shown on, and mm-hmm. it has a kind of a other kind of presence when it's shown. I mean, it is a performance, but it ultimately can only be the work when it exists as a playback of that performance in a very particular kind of situation, in a very, very particular medium, very specific kind of screen, and or mm-hmm. five relationship between certain screens and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so it is kind of a hybrid. Mm-hmm. Kind of, because the old performances that I, you know, that was when I was young and very influenced by that mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. was, you know, it was really like, in a way, you could show it on anything, you know. I mean, you put it on a TV, but it could be this big or this big or this mm-hmm. big. I remember even in the kitchen in mm-hmm. New York sometimes, mm-hmm. if it was crowded, they would show it on a projector, mm-hmm. you know, Vito Conti piece and stuff.
And today, the wave of performance come back again, mm-hmm. then I don't understand why. It's another question that I don't understand.
That's true, actually.
I didn't like very much just one work of this exhibition.
Yeah, which one?
Which one? The hands. Because it's too much formalistic.
Interesting.
I like all, but
I don't know. I have to say.
But this is a personal.
Yeah, but this is interesting to hear. But I haven't. We getting close.
Yeah.
Just a little. I haven't seen these works enough. Really, this is the first time I've really mm-hmm. seen them. I haven't spent a lot of time with them, so I'm still kind of feeling what they are and looking at what they are. You know. Mm-hmm. The Hands piece I kind of liked in the context of the show, in terms of it's so much about the face and the expression, mm-hmm. and then here's this. When I think of what is the other real expressive part of the human body.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we have had in the 70s a lot of work of this kind.
Really?
Ketty La Rocca. Yes, Ketty La Rocca is Florence artist.
Ketty La Rocca.
Yes? Mm-hmm. Maybe you knew in the past.
Maybe. Yeah.
A lot of people.
I remember Terry Fox.
But this is
not.
Terry Fox also, yes.
On a table, small mm-hmm. scale kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah. No, but it is not the.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you.
Have to be in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Not during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
In the evening today?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, in, when I'm in Florence.
In Florence.
Yeah, but it's still the. Yeah, I've noticed kind of a curious thing in the work, and that is that as I've been working more with people, with the human figure
mm-hmm.
and the body, that gradually over time the space is kind of becoming less important. And so they're in, typically now, the people I'm working with are no longer just part of the landscape,
mm-hmm.
like from before my older work, but now they're in some kind of neutral space or some kind of non-space,
mm-hmm.
like totally black behind
mm-hmm.
them or something, like in some of the people mm-hmm. in the show. And so the location specifically where they are is not
mm-hmm.
not important in a way. It's what's going on in them is the most important. They're all internal images. Yeah. Not about
mm-hmm.
external landscape, external world.
Mm-hmm. And you are not an image? What's mean?
What? I'm not an image? Oh, I am an image.
Loss.
Definitely I'm an image. But the image is located. The location of the image is not in real space, in
mm-hmm.
the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Location of the image is in some
mm-hmm.
internal kind
mm-hmm.
of place. I think. I mean, I don't know. You have to tell me that.